yourself. Be yourself. Be yourself. And before we jump into that, and I describe a little bit of what he means by be yourself, I think that it might be helpful this morning to start by asking the question, what does Rico not mean by be yourself? What does he not mean by be yourself? Because you might hear that phrase and think, well, what does that mean in evangelism? What does it mean when he says be yourself? And as we live in, you know, our North American context, that phrase, be yourself, might take on some interesting values in your mind. When I read that phrase myself, I was just thinking about the word authenticity. That's a kind of a buzzword that gets thrown out a lot in our culture. And so I did what any normal modern man would do, and I just got on my computer and I Googled authenticity, you know, just because that's what we do. That's kind of where we get our typical wisdom from the day. And a lot of times when we have crises, we might run to the scripture. But in a lot of our everyday lives, we are sort of that trickle effect of water, that we are bombarded by the wisdom of our culture just slowly through, you know, our Facebook pages, through our internet searches, and that's where we get a lot of our wisdom. So I just Googled it, and the first article that popped up was an article on 11 signs of a truly authentic person. That's fun. And it came up, this is December of last year, so not too far off, but just an editor of the Post. And they said, here's 11 signs. They recognize the emptiness of material things. Well, that sounds really good. I think that we might all kind of agree on there's sort of a level of emptiness of material things. They recognize that experiences make their lives richer. The experiences make life richer. That sounds interesting. They truly listen to other people. They express their true thoughts, feelings, and views unapologetically. Unapologetically. They're not out to please people. They see value in giving love to others. They love themselves. They are willing to see and acknowledge their own faults. They understand that we're all unique, and that's okay. They take responsibility for their lives. They're connected to their own inner God. Things like that. So the authentic person, okay? Have you ever heard kind of things like that? I remember when I was in college, one of the things that I actually battled with was not ideological struggles on an academic scale, but it was ideological struggles on a peer-to-peer scale. And one of the things that I kept coming up in front of was a pressure to be completely transparent with people around me. It was, you need to be 100% transparent and honest with me. And there was this pressure, and I felt guilty in the sense of like, I didn't, you know, tell them everything that was on me. And so one of my points, the first point that I want to make is that when Rico says, be yourself in evangelism, he is, what he's not saying is, be the truly merely authentic person of what our culture says. It is not the sense of personal expression, not the virtue of mere transparency. Because when you think about that, and you think about the biblical economy and what the Bible teaches us, there's a virtue in there of being able to share yourself, you know, with other people. But there's also this there's this proverb that says, a fool gives full vent to his spirit. Right? There's a level of kind of holding back, too, that expressing what's inside may actually not be the most desirable thing. And the fact that if you were to give full expression to everything about yourself, what would people really kind of think of you, you know? We tend to hide, don't we? As people, we tend to hide kind of what's inside because I think we fundamentally know, well, if I were to tell everything about myself, people may actually not really like that. And I may not be accepted. What Rico Tice is basically saying is that when he's not saying is don't just give. I'm not advocating a gospel or a mere virtue of transparency and be yourself, because everything doesn't necessarily need to be said all the time. The other thing that he's not saying here is it's not individualism. And we live in a very individualistic place in society. And individualism is differentiated from being an individual. Okay, so individualism versus being an individual. And individual is good. God created you. He created me to be in his image. And so that you are valued, you are worthwhile, and you have value in and of yourself. But individualism maximizes the independence of the individual without any need for anything else. Okay, so it's not mere transparency, and it's not individualism in the sense of I can, you know, just be a person unto myself and I don't need anybody else. There's a quote on page 83 that I'd like to read real quick before we kind of launch into what he means. In the sense of individualism, he says that if we are to stand firm in one spirit, striving together as one for the faith of the gospel, we must not see our local church as just our campaign headquarters, in the sense of this is kind of where we kind of gather together, get our mission, and then go out, from which we hear the gospel and go. And neither is it just our hospital field, where we return to be patched up after we kind of get wounded, right? If it is those things, but it is much more, it is a loving community of Christian brothers and sisters, and by being this, it gives credibility to the gospel. So what he's saying is that we exist as a witness, in and of ourselves as a church, we exist corporately as a body, witnessing Christ together, and we share in that as kind of one body. In Philippians 1:27, you don't necessarily have to turn there. You're welcome to if you would like. But Paul, over and over again, will emphasize just the oneness of the body of Christ. And he says this in 1:27, "Only let your manner be worthy of the gospel of Christ. So whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of you that you are standing firm in what? In one spirit, with one mind, striving side by side for the faith of the gospel." You know, so it is not individualism, but it's not a, sort of a mere transparency either. So what does Rico Tice mean when he says, you know, be yourself in evangelism? If y'all were to hear that phrase, what would you think, just to kind of get our juices flowing this morning, if someone were to say, you know, in evangelism, you ought to just be yourself? What would you think about that phrase? Yes, sir. Okay, so he says relax, right? I would kind of think about that in terms of, you know, someone's going on a first date, right? And he say, you know, just be yourself. Just relax. It's okay. All right, good. Any other thoughts? Yes, ma'am. Okay, good. That's right. Okay, so talk about your own relationship with the Lord. And I don't want to take meaning what you're not saying or what you are saying, but I think of that in two ways. I think you could share your personal testimony. And then also think about that just sort of an ongoing relationship with the Lord in the sense of, you know, this is what's going on in my life and this is how I'm trusting in the Lord in this moment. This is how my faith comes into this situation in my life right now, my frustrations or my fears. My worries. That's a really good thought. Any other thoughts out there? Maybe that wouldn't be. Maybe that wouldn't necessarily be a wisdom or advice that you would give to someone in evangelism. Be yourself.
With regard to what Kate just said, I think Rico in his book said something about don't go overboard with your own story. It's not about you.
That's right. Balance. Yeah, though that's a good point. He was saying don't go overboard with your story. And it's not about you. I think you used that phrase. I think that's a good phrase. It's not about you. And we can differentiate. You know, sometimes I think it's really possible for us in the giving of our testimony to neglect actually telling the gospel, right? So in the New Testament, when we read the gospel and you read it, what is the gospel? The gospel is good news. It's the work of what Jesus has done in the world. And so if we just say, well, you know, I was convicted and then I asked Jesus into my heart, we actually haven't told what the king actually did, right? So we can make it about to be ourselves to where we neglect pieces of the gospel. This is what Jesus did. It's really good. So let me throw out four concepts of what it could mean to be yourself in evangelism. So I like the idea of what we were talking about, trying not to be somebody else. I want to come back to that idea in just a minute, giving a little bit of a reason why we're saying be yourself. But let me give out four ways. So quick definition, then the four ways. Be yourself means to live out God's unique gifts and graces to which he has endowed you specifically, rather than live out the gifts and graces to which he has endowed somebody else. Okay? So live out the gifts and graces that God has given to you specifically, rather than the gifts and graces that he's given to somebody else. And here's four ways. One is creational design. Creational design. How did he make you versus make somebody else? And I want to flesh these out in just a moment. The second one is unique testimony. Unique testimony. This is how God came into your life and saved you as a person, which is very different from the next person. Number three, spiritual gifts. I didn't talk to Mike afterwards, but I thought about just pulling him aside right before and say, you know, there might be a lot of questions about spiritual gifts afterward. You might want to be at the back of the door to answer them. But in Scripture, God tells us that he gives us spiritual gifts. He loves his people, and he gives us gifts in order to use them for the building up of the body. So spiritual gifts is number three. And then number four is God's providence. God's providence. And that word, we don't really use that word a whole lot in our everyday language, the word providence. If you're up on your shorter catechism, God's providence means his holy, wise, and most powerful preserving and governing all his creatures and all his actions. Basically, what it means by that is that God orders all things in life. He knows what's going on, and he orders your steps, and he governs all of that. And that's God's providence. So those are those four concepts: creational design, unique testimony, spiritual gifts, and God's providence. And living out those things that God has given you rather than the design that God has for somebody else. And so let me quickly just give a why, give an apologetic. When we say the word apologetic, that's kind of a fancy word. It just means kind of giving a defense. When we talk about the field of apologetics, we're talking about how to defend the faith. But to give a quick defense for why Rico Tice would say, be yourself. And we've already kind of hit on it just a little bit. But we do, as a people, have kind of a tendency towards comparison, don't we? I don't know about you, but I do have within me sort of a tendency to look at other people and to compare myself, to have some sort of measurement in order to say, well, am I doing right or am I not doing right? When I've moved around a few times in my life, but every time I've moved around, I'll go into a new situation. I think I'm not quite dressed, you know, just like these other people. My wife and I, Megan, we had an opportunity to go to Europe last week, and I remember just walking around different places and people just kind of looking and staring at me as I went. And we were in Germany in Europe, and I was thinking, I guess I just look like an American, you know. So we have a tendency to compare ourselves with other people. We look at other people, but it's not just a material clothing sort of way. We think, well, you know, do I have kind of the same mannerisms? People really like them. They're real agreeable. You know, I kind of want to be like that, but I don't feel like I am like that. I feel like I'm a little more confrontational. And you might be. But God made us, he made us different. But we do have a tendency to do this. And we have a tendency to do this in evangelism too. So evangelism is not exclusive. So if you have your book, you don't have to look on there, but he has a quote on page 75, and he says that sometimes evangelistic books and training basically say this: be more like him, or be more like her, And people get discouraged because they're not made that way. I thought that was a real simple, basic quote, right? I do enjoy listening to different folks who are apologists that are really good at that. And I think sometimes it can be a tendency for us to look at some of these guys and think, oh man, I can't be like that. A few years back there was, I actually can never remember his name, but there's an Anglican priest, his name is Giles Frazier, and he was actually debating Richard Dawkins, and they were doing it over a radio show. So Richard Dawkins is a famous and very outspoken atheist. He wrote The God Delusion. And they were debating on on the radio, and Richard Dawkins basically was arguing against this Anglican priest, against Christianity, pushing heavily back with the argument that there was a survey that went out of for Christians, and it was a survey of basic biblical knowledge. And the survey came back, and it really just kind of showed an underwhelming amount of knowledge for Christians on basic Christianity. In other words, Christians didn't really know a whole lot about the Bible. And so Richard was saying, they don't even know what they believe. I mean, this is ridiculous. How dare you actually say that Christianity is real when the people that subscribe to it can't even explain it, okay? And, you know, that's a powerful argument. You know, you just think, oh, you know, what do I do? And, you know, Giles, and you can actually go YouTube this this afternoon. It's a real fascinating listen. If it's just a couple minutes long. But he was just saying, you know, that's preposterous. You know, how, and he's got this English accent, which makes him sound more erudite, right? And so, how you can't do that? And then he asked Richard, you know, if you could give for me, so Darwin wrote a book on the origin of the species, and he basically says, can you give for me the full title of Darwin's book of Origin of Species? And if you ever like kind of Google the title, it's massive. It's this very, very long title. And Richard starts to like fumble. He starts to kind of, you know, and you just kind of hear it. And under his breath, while he's saying that, he basically says, God. Almost in the sense of like, I can't get this. God. And he uses the word God in the middle of it. He's sort of basically using a name he doesn't believe in, stumbling over a title that he can't remember, that proves the fact that just because he doesn't know the title invalidates his argument against the Christians that he's doing. And all of it happens in just a moment, and you think, whoa, that's fantastic. Look at this master apologist, you know, it's this Anglican priest, and he's defending the faith, and I think, I want to be like that. And then I think, well, I'm not like that. You know, I'm not like that. It was, you know, it's an amazing situation, but Rico Tice says, be yourself. Be yourself. Live out.